This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Somich did a great job. Thank you for holding down the fort. Actually, I could have used your assistance in Michigan with family, if you know what I'm saying. But Happy New Year to you. And go Canes. Mike Somich is a Miami Hurricane fan, so we'll get to that, throwing up the U right there as you see it on the video. Again, Happy New Year. Thank you, Mike. Are you prepared sufficiently for the minefield that is betting week 18 in the NFL? Motivation on the line, seeding on the line, incentives on the line. Here we go.
Oh man, it is a fun trap to wade into here. This is interesting. Look, we've got some games that matter. Those are going to be awesome. We got a lot of games that don't matter at all. They're still going to be fun to bet. And that's the beauty of wagering, is that you can still bet all of them. It is a glorified preseason week, though. Let's just be honest. Like, week 18 is like preseason week number 4, except for like 4 games, which really matter.
Well, 2 open playoff spots. Of course, we're talking NFC South and AFC North, but 6 others are trying to clinch conference one seeds or division titles. And there's a lot of gamesmanship going on. I was just talking to Michael about his Patriots before we started recording Sharp Money here. And as you know, look, the Chargers aren't playing Herbert, and Denver most likely wins. New England most likely gets 2. And then there's jostling. Do they get the Bills? Do they get the Chargers? So there's just so much that goes into it. You know what I find fascinating just to start? Because that's 3:45. We got the 2 games on Saturday that matter. And Carolina, Tampa Bay is the first one, Mike. What I hate about the scheduling, and I blame the NFL, is if Tampa Bay wins this game, that's not a guarantee they lock up the division, because they have to wait to see if the Saints beat the Falcons, because the Falcons and your boy Raheem Morris have been on a freaking heater. So if Atlanta beats New Orleans and Tampa beats Carolina, Carolina ends up going to the postseason.
Make it make sense, Patrick.
Make it make sense. And also, you make it make sense why these division winners at 8 and 9 are going to host a playoff game.
Well, because we have to have a home dog in the first round. It's like death taxes and a first round home dog in the NFL playoffs has to happen. We might have 3, which I think is interesting as well, because there were some sports books that were posting lines for the potential matchups against the Chicago Bears, and they were a dog to all 3 teams that that they potentially could play in the first round. We'll get to that one a little bit later as we run through here. This is just a big snafu by the scheduling in general here. Like, this game should be in the afternoon on Sunday. You should have the Falcons game in the morning on Sunday so that we know exactly how much this game matters when this game is being played. This is like man, what is a good one? I'm trying to think. This is like you're going to your first date at the movies, right? And you're in high school, and you just don't know what to expect. It could be great, it could be terrible, but you're just going to try and get through it, make the best of it. Then you'll find out later like where that stacks up, because it's the first time you've done it, right? This is one of those situations here where we don't know if we get a win from Tampa, if it means anything. Anything at all. Now, I will say, at least you're getting the most motivated version of both of these teams, because they both don't know either. So you have to play like you need to win the game, because you don't know who is going to win that Saints-Falcons game. I can't get to the 3 points. I've been sitting here and I've been looking at it all week long, sitting at 2.5. There were some 2s out there originally. And I'm just like, look, I hope this gets to 3 so I can bet the Panthers. Because the more that you dive into this Bucs team, the more broken this Bucs team is. The defense has not been stopping the run like we expected earlier in the season. Baker Mayfield is one of the worst with inaccurate passes since week 11. The offense, well, you have all the big stars back, still not being able to move the football, not being able to run the football themselves. I can't with this Tampa team. Give me the 3 here with Carolina.
Yeah, and you can find a 3 right now, FanDuel and DraftKings. And sharper books are 2.5 with Tampa Bay laying it. You laid it out perfectly. With this game, I'm going to trust my eyes and not what should happen. What should happen is the Bucs are more talented.
Correct.
What should happen is we saw what the Bucs were to open up the season. My eyes are telling me over the last 6-7 weeks, this is not a good football team. And against your Miami Dolphins, the motivated football team, the team that looked like they were playing for something, was the Dolphins and not the Bucks. I'll take the three happily with the Panthers.
Yeah, didn't expect I'd have to sweat my under 7.5 Dolphins ticket when they were sitting at 2-8. But here we are. Here we are, Patrick. week 18 sweat for that team total.
So we're both in alliance here, and it's going to be official pick for me. I'll take Carolina plus the three. I don't like either team, but again, Bulls is on the way out. We've seen this ownership group do it in the past where they extend a coach and just get rid of them. They're too talented in a bad division to not have won it, and they've devolved. I don't trust this Bucks team.
No, I don't trust them at all either. Give me the three as well. That's one of my official picks on the weekend too here. And it's funny because I'm interested to see how many surgeries Baker has in the offseason. If I set the over-under at 3.5, are you taking the over or the under? Because he's clearly injured. He is, like, broken and out there playing. He's not, even when he was bad Baker, he wasn't this inaccurate. There are things that are going on with his body that we don't know about that we'll find out once the season's over. I don't love Bryce Young on the other side. I think this is probably an under game. If you want to play a total, I would go under the 43.5 here as well, as I think both of these teams are going to play slow, especially early in the game. But it has to be Carolina here just because of what we've seen from the Bucks.
Well, you talked about high school love at the intro there, so I wonder how many surgeries and how many love letters Baker sends to Liam Cohen saying, please come back. please come back.
Baby, come back.
Seattle, San Francisco. You think this is a good game? 361. So obviously everything on the line with Seattle and San Francisco. Appreciation because we haven't spoken. I was inundated by family. The San Francisco Chicago Bears game was freaking lit. It was so much fun. And I know you hate the Bears. I'm not getting into that. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying the game itself, aesthetically, super pleasing. Been very impressed with San Francisco this year with the injuries. We've gone ad nauseum about that. But this is a big one. Seattle and San Francisco. Seattle is laying. It's flipped. So now Seattle, circa showing 2.5. FanDuel showing 1.5.
Oh, I laugh at the Bears comment because I had the Bears plus 3.5.
I did too.
Quite a bit of change. A nice chunk of change there. And that's, a fun game. Kind of bummed how that one ended, despite it being very fun. I love the Seahawks in this spot. This is a fraudulent San Francisco team. We've been talking about them on this program as a over team week after week after week because they have the offense that can move the football. Defensively, they've got absolutely nothing left. They have been completely destroyed by injuries. Now, offensively, we are starting to get to the point where they are getting destroyed by injuries again. We're missing our top tackle. Kittle is a game time decision. We'll see if he ends up going. You've got Pearsall, who was banged up. You're missing Jennings. Like, there's been players in and out of the lineup for this 49ers team consistently over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not sure how they keep up with Seattle offensively, because I think Seattle is going to have a boatload of success against the San Francisco 49er defense. If the 49ers defense struggles, then all of a sudden you have to move the ball consistently against what is a very good Seattle defense without your best offensive lineman, without Kittle, without all of these different pieces that you're missing. I think this is Seattle, and I think it's Seattle big. So I like Seattle minus the 1.5 quite a bit.
I'm right there with you. I like the move. I like Seattle. First off, a Purdy appreciation. He's just been in a rhythm. He's been in a flow.
He was incredible.
But I think Seattle, they do have, I think Seattle has the personnel to go kind of man heavy against him, which, you know, with those inside throws, I think they stack up. I think more importantly, I think Seattle takes advantage of the San Francisco defense. I'm right there with you. I think Seattle's a better team. I've been doubting San Francisco all year, but I like Seattle.
Yeah,
and I think the move's right.
Top to bottom, Seattle is the better football team. It's that simple. Like, it's the
yeah, I agree.
The San Francisco defense is bad. Like, bottom five in the NFL, bad. And when you have a team like Seattle who should be able to move the football against that level of a defense, and you've got their defense to complement it, I find it very hard to believe San Francisco able to win this football game. I do like Brock Purdy rushing props, Patrick. You mentioned, like, his athleticism came through in that Bears game, able to escape the rush, able to run. This is going to be a Seattle team that's going to get a lot of pressure, especially if Williams isn't out there. If that's the case, Purdy's going to take off. So I like him over his rushing total in a situation or a gamescape where I expect them to have to throw the football quite a bit.
You know, Purdy reminds me of you, Samo, because the last time we hung out, you were doing the Dougie, and That's a pretty thing. Very white. Let's move on. Sunday, 3:35, Green Bay at Minnesota. So we could have, and we'll get into the ramifications with the Bears, we could have a first round matchup of Chicago and Green Bay. Let's talk about this one first. Green Bay, Minnesota. Minnesota is laying up to 9.5. So this is what we talk about, a minefield. If you're a general bettor, you look at it, you go, huh? What's happening?
Yeah, it's first off, Clayton Tune is happening. We know that. We know that Clayton Tune is going to be the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Now, the speculation here is we are going to get J.J. McCarthy as the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And that's why we've seen this line start to push out there. It's not going to be a Max Brosner game. When we were sitting at 7.5, 7, that's when we were hearing a lot of the Max Brosner side of it. Interesting, because I was kind of hoping that it would be a Max Brosner game just so I could bet the Green Bay Packers, because I could not get to 7.5 with Brosner as the quarterback. 9.5 with McCarthy, I think it's about right. Like, I it's hard for me to get, like, super excited to take the Packers with Clayton Tune, because McCarthy, for everything that we have said negatively about him, has gotten better as the season has gone along. He's played better the last 2 weeks prior to being knocked out with an injury than he had in the previous part of the season. This is a defense for Green Bay that is, look, with the starters that are not going to start plus the injuries, is going to be not good at all. The offense is probably going to be a little bit of a mess. You're not going to get Tom back. You have your third string quarterback, your third string running back. That being said, I can't lay 9.5 with McCarthy. Like, are you kidding me? Him winning by 10? I can't do it.
I agree. I can't lay open 6.5 up to 9.5 with Minnesota here hosting Green Bay, but I can go under the 37 because I don't think Green Bay scores.
It just team total Green Bay under then, right? Like, that would be the...
Yeah, I don't think they score. I don't think they care.
I don't think they're going to care either. My only concern is, like, LaFleur somehow made Malik Willis, like, going to get a contract in the offseason good.
Right.
Right? So, like, maybe Clayton Tune's going to show something. We don't know. But I would agree with you. Like, if anything, I would want to look toward the under there. Or even look at, like, what can I get from a prop perspective on the running backs for the Vikings? And props are tough this week. I'm not going to list as many, which I know Patrick is really going to be upset about during the show here, because they're just not out. Like, the books are like, I don't know who's playing. I can't post props for these
games. I don't blame them. That is preseason, as you mentioned at the top. 3:37, Indianapolis is at Houston. Houston's up to 10.5 here. Obviously, the motivation for Houston is it's a long shot. They beat Indy, and it's not going to happen. The Jags lose to the Titans. Houston would win the division. But certainly, the motivation is there for Houston, and they're laying a big price with the Colts here.
Yeah, we've seen the last of Philip Rivers as he has ridden off into the sunset. So it's going to be a Riley Leonard game here for the Colts. If anything, I'm playing Indy team total under here. I'm playing into this defense because I do think the defense shows up and plays very, very good in this football game. We've seen this offense kind of take games off. A little concerned we're going to see this Houston offense take another game off here like we did a couple weeks ago. But the defense seems to show up every single day. So if anything for me, it's the Indy team total under here. Hard for me to get excited to get to the window in this one, though, especially at 10. And some people are talking about 10-point teasers this week, Patrick. If you're going to play 10-point teasers, this game is one of those that I would definitely include in there, right? It's three teams minus 120 if you play a three-team 10-point teaser. This is one of those where I do think Houston wins this football game. I'm just not sure they're motivated to win by margin.
Incentives, I will talk about props. Look for anytime touchdown score in Jonathan Taylor. He has been consistently scoring. He leads the NFL by 2 in rushing touchdowns. It matters to these guys more than you know to be league leaders. I expect him to get a heavy usage, that being Jonathan Taylor in that matchup. A good one, 3:51, Cleveland is at Cincinnati. If you go to this game, that's it. That's my statement. If you go to this game,
yeah, it's like
what is honestly like what's happening in life? I don't do much. I'm an introvert. I stay at home. I'm a loser. But I wouldn't go to this game. Would you?
God, no. I mean, it's freaking cold. These two teams are like not good. What do you think a ticket costs to this game? Actually, let me rephrase that. How much would I have to pay you?
That's what I'm saying. If I showed up at the gate, I'd be like, how much? Yeah. Just to fill it up to make you look good.
You're going
to
give me $1,000? I'll go watch the game. Actually, I don't know if I would.
I don't. Honestly, I don't. I'm old. and time becomes very scarce. Cleveland, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 7.5, and the total is 44.5.
Like the over here. I think this is one of those overs that, like, Cincinnati's just, they're going to move the football on offense. They can't stop anybody on defense. We've seen Cleveland be able to take shots down the field with Shador in there. I think that he's able to move the football. I also think you could play Cincinnati by margin here if you want to. If the good Bengals show up, if the offense for the Bengals that scores every drive shows up, which is what we saw last week against the Cardinals, they can win by 14. They can win by 21. I mean, this is one of those where you click on game lines over on whatever book you're at, and you take your little sliding bar, and you say, okay, if I lay 14.5 for the Bengals, I get 2-1. Sign me up for that instead of laying the 7.5, because this is one of those where if they win, I think they just blow the doors off the Browns here. I don't think you're trying to win a 3-point game here late in Cincinnati.
I dare you to ask your wife if we can go to this game. We'll do shtick. We'll show up. We'll fly together. I'll drive to Santa Barbara. We'll fly out of that nice little airport, and we'll go watch the Browns and Bengals. What do you think?
She'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Get the hell out of here.
Get out of here for a week. Are you taking
it's been a long holiday. And speaking of the holidays, I'm guessing the Browns and Bengals are looking forward to a new year. And you should be, too, with a VSiN Pro subscription, 50% off, regular monthly. This is a great deal. It's simple. Through May 1st, $79. You get everything. AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, VSiN Watch app. You go through March Madness, through the Masters, through the playoffs. It's amazing. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dallas at the Giants, that's 353. And Dallas is 3.5 on the road.
This has been an interesting line, Patrick, because this one opened up a lot bigger. We're looking at 5.5 for the Cowboys, and we've seen it drop down to 3.5 here. I thought last game was interesting from the Giants. Not only did they come out and play well in a game, which, you know, if they lose, they most likely get the number one pick, but they actually had Dart running again. They had him throwing. They're like, no holds bar. We're actually going to show up with our best effort. That makes me feel like you're going to get the best shot again from the Giants here. And if I look at this and, the Cowboys, we've heard from them. We don't know how long starters are going to play. That, to me, the big concern about betting this game is, like, what if we get a half of the starters? Like, do you really want to be involved in it? Because of that, I think I'm going to look toward the first half here. I do like the over in this spot. Give me the first half over. You can get over 24.5. Both of these offenses should have success. If the Giants' effort level is what it was last weekend, their offense moves the football. If we have the starters for the Cowboys, their offense moves the football. So over 24.5 first half here.
Yeah, I'll respectfully just say I have nothing. 357. Now, this is interesting. New Orleans has all of a sudden, it's almost like a philosophical approach where obviously not number one overall pick, certainly were in the running early on, and they're playing for next year. They're playing like there's an energy that's building where you can tell they feel like they have their quarterback in Shuck, and they're going to Atlanta. Atlanta, I don't know if they want to. They're playing for their coach's job, and he's won 3 straight. Raheem Morris, my assumption is Blank is going to keep him. All of a sudden, playing well. Atlanta is hosting New Orleans, and Atlanta is laying anywhere from 3 to 3.5.
I am going to do something I rarely do, Patrick. 6th week in a row. Give me the Saints. That's right. 6 straight weeks I have bet this team now. I don't think the market's right. I still don't think the market's right. I don't think the market was right last week. But by the way, we've cashed with them 6 straight weeks too, which is as unlikely as the fact that we've actually bet a team 6 straight weeks. But this is a situation where this Saints team is still mispriced. It's because of the defense. I like Shuck's been great. Don't get me wrong. Shuck's been awesome. Got a Rookie of the Year ticket on him. Would love him to be able to win it. All that being said, this defense has been the big difference here so far for this team in New Orleans. They have played very, very good football down the stretch. They're a top 10 defense, top 5 pressure rate since week 10. Then you combine it with what the offense has been able to do. Olave going to be out here. That's the one big concern for me. He's been awesome for this offense, so you are losing one weapon. But I still like how this New Orleans team is playing right now. I think they finished the season strong. Give me the 3 in a hook. That hook makes the difference. At 3, I'd be passing. 3.5, I'll take the Saints.
I like the Saints catching the 3.5, which you can find at DraftKings right now. I do like the over 44. Agree with you about the Saints defense, but this Falcons offense, they're scoring 30 points a game over their last 3. They scored 29 against Tampa, 26 against Arizona, and 27 against the Rams. A good defense there with the Rams. So I think they get, 25. I know that New Orleans can score on Atlanta. So I do like the over there. Let's continue. 365, Tennessee's at Jacksonville. So Jacksonville, FanDuel's 12.5, DraftKings 13.5, just to give you an idea of the disparity. Jacksonville has everything to play for, obviously, and they will. And they want to win their division and host a playoff game.
I cannot get close to this number, Patrick. But I don't want to bet Tennessee. So, like, I'm sitting here, and I mentioned this on Wednesday's VSiN Primetime. Like, if it gets to 14.5, I have to bet Tennessee. I'm hoping it never gets to 14.5. That's how I feel about this football game. Because, like, I make this game, like, 9.5. Like, I cannot get to 12.5, 13.5, what we've been at. But I'm not going to fire until I get to the 14.5. If we do, then I'll take a shot at it. Cam Ward's been a lot better. We'll see if this defense can play well against what we've seen from Tennessee. We've seen Pollard run the football well. He's, I believe, 65 yards from a bonus, if you're talking about incentives. So he needs 65 on the ground to be able to get that. So you expect that he's going to run pretty hard in this game. Like I said, Cam Ward been playing well. Love what he's been able to do to extend plays, push the ball downfield. 14.5 is that point where it's too much for me. But until we get there, it's hard for me to want to run to the window because this is a highly motivated Jacksonville team that's been playing very good football for over a month now.
And the Titans, 2-2 over their last four, played pretty well in San Francisco, played pretty really well in a loss to New Orleans. I mean, you know, with some context, I'm not laying it. I mean, I'll, like you said, once we get to that 14.5, I'd take it. And you might get there. You might get to 14.
I don't want, as I don't the want bets to, co- don't get you to 14.5. Don't do it. Don't make me click the button. At 14.5, I will click it, but I will be very unhappy.
Next up, Miami is at New England. And 339, New England, we were just talking with Michael about this. When you sign Stephon Diggs, it's duplicitous. Like, oh, his interviews are great. And he seemed, no, dude, the guy's a freaking asshole. Like, he's kind of a horrible person that pretends to be a good person. And no disrespect to anybody, but stop believing in the, oh, you know, whatever. And Barrymore as well. So there's drama, but the right coach to handle the drama is obviously Vrabel. And Miami's coming in. New England's laying 11.5.
Yeah, no one's shocked by this Diggs stuff. But I mean, it is shocking. Let me rephrase that.
First, let me say it's all alleged, and yes, he's going to have his time in court.
But we
I'm
don't
just
know.
Saying I have a track record here to kind of have an analyzation of Stephon.
Yeah, like there are other things have happened. You know, there have been pictures on boats and like other, you know, this is in the recent year. There's other things that have happened that maybe spark us toward this. Give me the Dolphins. This has been a Dolphins team that has been, in my mind, resurgent. Give Mike McDaniel his props. Like, this team has not quit after it looked like they were going to quit in like week 4. They continue to try hard every single game. They played well against Tampa last week. They can run the football. Quinn Ewers actually pushes the ball downfield, something Tua couldn't do. He can also extend plays, something Tua couldn't do. 10.5 is too much. If this were sitting at 9.5, it'd be a pass for me. If we were at like 7.5, I'd be playing
11.5, Samo.
But 11.5, over 10. Over once you get to that 10.5 number, it's a Miami play for me. So give me the Dolphins plus the points here.
Yeah, I New England wins, but I do like the 11.5 as well. 341 Kansas City is at Vegas. Before you and I left, we talked about the most impossible spot over the last decade, which was Kansas City going to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never has a team not wanted to be in a place in the history, and it bared out. I think Kansas City kind of doing the same thing, although they've met their elixir, the Las Vegas Raiders. So it is 5.5 with the Chiefs laying it. I am not laying it, but I'm not taking it.
Yeah, this is just one of those. Look, if you have a great angle, a really, really awesome way to compel yourself to bet this game,
God bless.
You're better than me. Good on you. I have less than zero interest in bet. If you want to play Kelsey props and say this is his last game ever, fine. Okay. But like, I don't need to bet this game. I don't need to bet this game. This is a train wreck of a Raiders organization taking on a Chiefs organization that basically looks lost out there right now. I like hard pass for your boy.
Hardest pass on the board. Detroit is. Yes, 343. Detroit's at Chicago. Chicago's laying 3. A lot going on here. A revenge spot, because remember, Detroit beat their ass earlier. Chicago coming off a loss. Don't want to go into the postseason. 2 straight losses. So much with seeding. Can end up the 2 seed. It's 3 with Chicago.
I like the over here. more than anything else. These offenses should be able to move the football against each other. A little concerned about the whole Goff outdoors thing that we've heard that narrative time and time again.
Tell me more.
It hasn't gone great. Like, so there is that problem. There is that worry. But these are two offenses that should be able to move the football consistently against each other. You can get a 50.5 out there. It's a slight lean for me. Nothing crazy. I do think the Bears -3 is the right side. If you are Dan Campbell and you're being smart about this, Patrick, which I know, not always a strong suit. You want to lose this game, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is a – you are incentivized to lose this football game.
He's a meatball.
You want to lose this game, though, Patrick.
He'll do the shtick. Like, he'll play to win the game. Mm-hmm. Look, it's juiced down. I don't think we're going to get a 2.5, but maybe. 3 is the right side. I was in Michigan, and I could tell you, we're down bad. It's cold. It's dark. It's gray. It is. Dude. I know people don't realize this. You know it a little bit better, but the Midwest is the engine that runs it is sports. And like the concept of just bowing out, there's just a malaise over the state of Michigan, the city of Detroit. And there are a lot of questions about obviously Ben Johnson doing well in Chicago and a staff overhaul in the offseason with Dan Campbell.
Can you believe how fast the window closed?
That happens, brother.
I mean, it's funny because Dan Campbell, to his credit, when they lost that NFC title game, he's like, we don't know if we'll ever be back here.
He did say that.
You know what, Dan?
Nostradamus.
I don't think you're ever getting back there, buddy.
No.
That might be it.
Here is my question, because I love the guy. I don't think he's a very good coach, but I love the guy. He's a culture builder. I always say this about head coaches. You know, if you have a head coach, if you fire him today, will he be hired tomorrow? And I mean this sincerely, because there are so many Dan Campbell sycophants. Who's hiring him?
I mean, isn't he a college coach? Isn't that really the answer?
Isn't he just a great guy?
Well, yeah, but like he's a great motivator and he can.
He certainly is.
Yeah. He's a great motivator, a great speaker. He very much is able to be a leader of men, right?
Absolutely.
Like, is he good with the X's and the O's? Should he be calling
plays? You know
what
he needs? He needs a mathematics major from North Carolina. Oh, that's what the Chicago Bears have as their head coach. That's what Dan Campbell needs.
The funny thing, he should be a defensive coordinator. Like if he was your defensive coordinator, you'd love him. Right
run through a wall.
If you're a special teams coach, he'd be incredible. The problem is, after you're the head coach, how do you casually get down demoted and like be cool with it, and then still be able to lead these guys, right? Because like let's say it played out like we both believe it should have, where Ben Johnson was actually promoted to head coach. You
of
put
course.
Dan Campbell somewhere else inside the organization. I don't care where, assistant head coach, whatever you want to put him. How do those guys who looked up to you be like, yeah, bro took a demotion. He's cool with it. It's fine. How are you still able to lead them?
Well, I think he has enough integrity. He wouldn't have done that. Now, you can't fire a guy coming off 15, but you needed to fire him coming off 15 wins. I'm sorry. This is real life. These are adults. It's a billion-dollar business. Ben Johnson was the answer. Campbell isn't going anywhere. He is Detroit through and through. He's the fabric. He is. But the problem with hiring a guy like him, who's a figurehead, is when you bring in another tremendous offensive coordinator, he's going to get a job the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you restart. That's why I don't understand people hiring defensive coordinators. Go for it. God bless. It's the most idiotic thing you could do. You're constantly going to be turning over the most important aspect of the game.
The only exception, my boy
Mike
up in
McDonald.
Seattle. My boy up in Seattle, who his defense is like revolutionary, right? Like
that is true. That's an exception.
That would be.
I'm 100%. But there's not many of them. There's not many McDonald's. There's not many McVays. They don't grow on trees.
No, they don't. And if you think about like, okay, what coach do you want? If you redrafted NFL head coaches,
McVay 1, McDonald 2.
Well, Ben Johnson's up there. Kyle Shanahan.
Ben Johnson. My opinion would. Sorry to interrupt. Mine would be McVay, Johnson, McDonald.
Kyle Shanahan is up there. Andy Reid is up there. All offensive dudes. You would have Andy Reid in the top five or
Andy
six.
Andy Reid's kind of a
come
adult.
On. Okay, yeah, but well, yeah. A name. I don't know. Top five
Reid
or
would
six.
Be, I'll answer it. Reid would be 5.
Yeah. See, like, there's no way you're like Andy Reid's 12th, right? There's a lot
but
of.
But I guarantee you, I would take Johnson over Shanahan.
Well, the funny question, let's just throw it out there. Where would Dan Campbell be on that list?
That's what I just said. Would he get hired? Now, I think he might. There's generally about 7 or 8 openings. 6 to 8. Campbell has a cult of personality at this point because of those cheesy videos after wins that he might hoodwink. Probably not.
No. I don't think he'd get hired. I think that you could, again.
He's a great guy.
He's a great dude. Yeah, this is like, great guy, but.
And I mean that. I'm not even being sarcastic. He just is a really freaking good dude. Anyway, you know, the Jets are.
Where does Vrabel fall in this? Vrabel, not an offensive
anomalous
guy.
Anomalous, because what he did in Tennessee with that quarterback needs to be recognized.
You look back now and you're like, holy crap, he did a great job.
And again, name Vrabel's OCs. He had LaFleur for 1 year. He had another guy that got arrested for getting hammered. He didn't really have a Ben Johnson. LaFleur's offense was terrible the 1 year in Tennessee. Vrabel won games because he's just a little bit different.
Well,
and I was down on Vrabel. Like, I think Vrabel's prickly.
I'm still shocked he didn't get hired immediately. Like, that was still one of the, like, that we went through.
I think he had a really bad reputation with how it went down in Tennessee.
That's fair. I also firmly believe, like, Ben Johnson also didn't get hired in that cycle. I think people looked at the quarterbacks available and said, you know what? Hey, I'll wait here. I'll take a little bit of a pass because that's kind of an important position.
To be fair, Washington wanted him, and he turned them down, and then they went Dan Quinn.
Yeah, but they didn't. He didn't know Jaden Daniels was going to be Jaden Daniels in his rookie year.
He did not. He could do whatever. He could make, what did they say, lemonade out of lemons.
Mm-hmm.
Jets are at Buffalo, and Buffalo is laying 7.5.
Yep, they are.
They certainly are.
Yeah, like that is the thing that's going to happen.
But they
this
don't
weekend.
Care.
Yeah. Don't tease this game. Like, we talk about teasers all the time. Don't tease Buffalo. They like, we're going to get a lackluster effort from them. This game means absolutely nothing to the Buffalo Bills. They are locked into either the 5 or the 6 seed there in the AFC. I guess they could fall to the 7, depending on how things play out. But you're not guaranteed a wholesome effort here from Buffalo. To me, it would be Bills or pass. It's the under or pass, but I don't feel the need to rush to the window on either.
James Cook leads the NFL by like 60 yards in rushing. They have discussed he will probably get. McDermott said it matters to him, and Cook has said it matters. That's the only way I'd look. Maybe he gets some carries. He's going to know what happens with Taylor and Henry, I believe, by the time he goes. So important to note. Let's continue. I'm going slow here. Go ahead.
They don't have first drive props yet. Look for first drive props if that's the case. You can get rushing yards on the first drive of the game. Look for the Cook over there. Play rushing early. Don't play full game. Just play first half or play first drive or first quarter, because he's not going to be in the second half, assuming that you don't see a crazy game from Taylor or Henry.
Well done. Let's go Washington at Philly. Philly is 3.5, 4.5.
Oh, I like this Eagles team, man. I like this Eagles defense. We don't know what we're going to get from a wholehearted effort throughout the entire game here from the Eagle or from the Eagles, just around their starters specifically. I like Philly first half. You can get a -2.5. If you can find an Eagles -2.5 first half, when you're going to get the starters, you're going to get their defense. I like that direction. Otherwise, I'm passing this one.
Don't be surprised when they win another Super Bowl.
I was like having that same conversation. We had that conversation with Halty, and I had that conversation on Sunday.
Don't be surprised.
They are clearly the best or second best team in the NFC.
That
clearly.
Defense is awesome. Mm. They kind of toyed with, well, again, their first half, second half, they were better in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. They were. So they're Rams. You're on the same page as I am that the Seattle Seahawks, probably not a great playoff team, right?
100%. Love the Rams in the postseason.
So Rams or Eagles, who's better?
It'd be a great game. Listen, we saw the game last year in the snow where Stafford was awesome, and that was the only competition that the Eagles faced in the postseason. Remember, they blew out everybody except the Rams. What would I do, life on the line?
Do you know
what would it be? What would the number be neutral?
Who's the
2.5 Rams?
Who's the favorite in the NFC? Do you know?
It's got to be the Rams.
It's the Seahawks. Seahawks are plus 240 to come out of the NFC. The Rams are plus 310. The Eagles are 5-1.
Well, let me rephrase. Game is on a neutral. Who is favored, Rams or? And I'm saying neutral. Rams or Eagles?
The Rams are probably a point.
I said 2.5.
Yeah,
two?
point and a half. I think
you're right.
Sub. Okay. They're favorite, but sub 3.
Now gun to head.
Yeah, Eagles.
I think I probably agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet the Eagles win the NFC this week because I got the 5-1. I'm like, no, that's not, like, I don't agree with Seattle at all that they should be the favorite. And I understand the number one seed, all blah, 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 blah. I expect that. I love them this week. I've been a pro Seattle dude. I want to see it in the playoffs. I just want to see it in the playoffs before I really fall in love with anything that I expect here. But I do think the Rams should be the favorite in the NFC despite having to play one more game.
Agreed. The next one up, Arizona at the Rams. Rams are... My goodness. Pinnacle's 10, FanDuel's 7.5.
Just
good luck.
Tease this as soon as you can. Just tease the Rams down and
they're
going to
be in a bad mood.
Yeah. You're going to get an ornery Rams team here that secretly sort of has a little to play for. Just go ahead and play a little bit of Rams. But if you want to take the over, go for it here. Rams team total over. I could get behind that as well. If you want to just focus in on the Rams against a very, very bad Cardinals defense. But to me, it's Rams, it's over, it's team total Rams over. I think this is one where the favorite is going to run.
And when the game ends, if you're looking for a defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon will be available.
You think he's fired? It is not his fault. This is an injury problem. And Kyler Murray's
Well, they're not
going to
be able to get
problem.
Off Murray. They're not going to be able to get off Murray.
Murray for Tua. Why not? just problem
you know
child.
What? I don't
problem
hate that just
child.
Because who get, at that point, change of scenery.
Let's go.
Chargers are at Denver. Chargers are not trying in this game. Denver will be, and it is 12.5-13.
You know, last weekend, last Sunday, this was Denver 3.
I see that. Look ahead was 3.
Whoops. Didn't bet it. Probably should have.
By the way, I still think 3 would have been a little short.
Yeah. I mean, you could have made an argument to bet 3, even if this game mattered for the Chargers, right? Like that Denver
I
is still.
I totally agree.
3 was a decent price on it. 12, and I can't bet this game. This has ran way too far. I don't have the best of it. I'm not willing to bet it. Another situation where, like, you don't have to bet every game. Yeah, this 10.5 pointer. If you're playing a 10.5 pointer, okay. Throw them in there. Like Chargers minus 2.5. Or I'm sorry, Denver minus 2.5, fine. But like, nothing crazy for me here.
With those edge issues for the Chargers on the offensive line, Denver is a really good option. So I thought 3 would have even been. I think Chargers have overachieved. I think they got a really good coach and a really good quarterback, and the injuries have been punitive.
The Chargers cannot face Denver or Houston in the playoffs.
Oh,
those are the two teams we saw last week. Like we're going to see it again. Like they're just the defensive line's just going to eat, and Herbert's going to be screwed. Now they could go beat New England. They could go beat Buffalo.
100%.
They could go 100%. Beat Jacksonville. But
nope,
those
the two teams,
defenses, they are absolute kryptonite for this Chargers team.
Totally agree. That brings us to a game we're all bored of, but there's a lot on the line here, and that is Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore is blanketed 3.5 on the road.
Dude, the market loves the Ravens.
They love them.
They love every week. It's like, you know who we should bet? We should bet the Ravens. Let's
find
just
you a partner that the market adores as much as they love the Ravens.
And you know what? The funny part hasn't gone great for those people that have just been betting the Ravens every single week.
Like most relationships. Yeah. At least for me.
Yeah, there's the blind lust. Not a great thing, Patrick. You got to find
I'll
true
just
love.
Say this. I'll just say I like the over 40.5. Oddly, I just think you're going to. We saw more points. We saw points between them in their first meeting. You're going to see the same thing. I don't think either team's any good. But Henry is rolling. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll go over. Yeah. These two teams stink.
I played under 43.5 on Sunday. So I will be rooting for the under.
Yeah,
but
you got ahead of it.
Much different number than what you were rooting for. I thought it was a like non-weather factored in, assuming everyone was healthy for Pittsburgh, which obviously we're not going to get. We're not going to have DK Metcalf in this game. He is still suspended for being a donk. We are not going to have Darnell Washington in this game. He broke his left arm, I believe it was, arm or wrist in the last game. So you're down some weapons here. We're not sure about Calvin Austin. He is questionable. That means we're going to be rolling out Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Scotty Miller, and Adam Thielen. Like circa 2020 wide receiving career for Aaron Rodgers, which I guess he fits that circa 2020 moniker himself anyway. And you know what? I still like the
You're
going to
say it. You'll take the 3.5.
I'll take the 3.5.
I would have to take
the
3.5.
Here's the funny thing. I don't even want the 3.5. I'll take the 4.5 that I'm going to get Sunday night. Okay? I'm telling you right now, this is all Baltimore money up until the kickoff. I think we're going to get as high as 4.5 here. So I like the 3.5 with Pitt. I don't mind waiting and just taking the 4.5 here. I also like Aaron Rodgers over his passing prop. You can get him at 216.5, 215.5. This is a situation where, like, this has been a really good Ravens run defense, but they've given up explosives through the air consistently. I think we're going to get explosives through the air from Rodgers here. I think that's how Pittsburgh moves the football. So give me his over 215.5 passing yards.
Well, at least the Ravens and Steelers don't feel stale.
I mean, can we get like Ed Reed to suit up just for fun?
Wait, what Chuck if we get Noll like going to be roaming the side?
Can we get Can we get Polamalu out there? Just have Reed and Polamalu both suit up just for a good time.
Guttural. Ugh, with these two. Oh. Anyway, my bets, Carolina +3. It's one overlap. We generally don't have them. New Orleans, Atlanta, I love the over there, 44. And Baltimore, Pitt, I like the over 40.5. It's much different than 43, so it's not crazy.
Right. Hopefully we can both win that one. For me, Carolina +3, Seahawks, or Saints +3.5, and I'm going to lay the 1.5 with the Seahawks. I also laid 7.5 with Seattle. If you want to get a little kooky with me here and play a little alt line action, I think Seattle blows the doors off them on Saturday night.
We got 2 minutes before we get out of here. What's your number on your Canes to win two more games in a national championship?
I mean, the number.
And also, let's stop with the Irvin shtick. Michael Irvin is the creepiest human that's ever existed. I don't care if anybody judges me for saying that. He is freaking wild. And no.
What was up with the belt thing?
He's like, I don't want to disparage.
How is that with like the first thing, like we're winning, better take my belt off and whip a Gatorade tub with an Ohio State shirt on it.
Stick, like, bro, like you're 70. What is their number to win a national championship
right now? You can get them at, I believe, +255 was the last price, which is crazy to me thinking that we're here. They were 10 to 1, 12 to 1 at one point. When you could get them, they're -165 to make the finals, which is also
there's no value in the Canes.
Absolutely nuts. No, there's no value in the Canes at all. I guess it's Oregon. Oregon would be favored over Miami or Ole Miss. So if you win one game here, then you're the favorite in the national title game. So if I was going to play anybody, I'd play Oregon. Ironically, the price to win the championship is down right now. Not sure why, but to reach the college finals is not down. But yeah, it would be Oregon or pass for me if I was going to bet anyone now. I did already bet Miami. I like Miami against Ole Miss -3. I think this Canes offensive and defensive line can be able to control it. We'll see if that happens. We're also hearing rumors that like LSU may not allow the Ole Miss offensive staff to coach, because
Lane Kiffin is.
Which matters. Did you see his post? He posted right after the game, congratulations to Ole Miss and like his family in the suite watching the game.
He's a cornball.
And then he's like, but by the way, we're taking our offensive staff back.
Yeah, he's a cornball. what I would say is we got an epic game between Georgia and Ole Miss last night. That game was Ole Miss emptying their tank.
Yes.
Yeah. It is over.
that was incredibly emotional game, back and forth. What the deuce was Kirby Smart doing, not running the football in third down and goal?
Did you like the fourth down call late? They were going nuts on the broadcast. It matters a hell of a lot more for Ole Miss to have beaten Georgia to win anything moving forward. That was, I would agree with you. I think Miami sets up very well to get to the finals.
Yeah, it's obviously Miami being Ohio State matters to Miami too, but like not nearly as much as it felt like that Ole Miss game mattered. And the emotional roller coaster that those kids are on, it's hard to get up week after week, and now you're going to have to try and do it 3 straight weeks. I think Miami is a good situational spot here. And again, I think they control the line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball. And if you can't run the football, it's going to make it much more difficult for an Ole Miss team to consistently move it. So, yeah, give me the Canes -3. We could go to that game. That's the Fiesta Bowl. Why don't we go down to Arizona? That would be a fun little trip.
All right. We'll go from Bengals-Browns down to...
Let's go.
all right, let's go. We'll be back on Sunday, Sharp Money. New Year's resolutions betting-wise? Anything?
I have quit the NBA. I'm taking any NBA money that I was going to bet. Except futures. I will still bet futures. and I'm moving it over to the NHL because
I'm unloading 401ks nightly on the NHL. We got our thread.
NHL has been great this year, and one of the things, if you're a gambler out there, track every single bet. Every single bet you make, and figure out where you're good at, what good sports you're good at, what sports you're bad at. Track props differently than sides, differently than totals, so that you can kind of like narrow down exactly where you are good. The thing that jumped out to me is I'm not good at the NBA. I'm like just slightly worse than 500. I'm much better at the NHL, and yet my unit size is the same in both. Just need to make an adjustment there. Take the NBA money, put it over on the NHL, just ignore the NBA, and keep trying to push forward with hockey.
Mike's 100% right about tracking your bets. I still do it long form, which is crazy. You can find bet trackers, but you'll see your inefficiencies. You'll see your blind spots that you're really not paying attention to because we generally approach betting with a bias. So when you start to see, I'm really relying on this type of bet, you'll see that when you track them. All right, Samich, great job with Sharp Money, and happy new year to you and the fam.
You as well, sir. You as well. Looking forward to having you up here in Santa Barbara for one of those golf rounds you owe me.
I'm leaving in 10 minutes. We will be back on Sunday. Happy New Year. Sharp Money, wherever you download your podcast. Don't forget to get the newsletter tomorrow morning, which is going to have all the information. VSiN.com/newsletter. It's free. Enter your email address. We'll see you on Sunday.